All right, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 22. I want to read a verse there. I really feel like that I would not be doing right if I didn't address this thing today. And I hope you'll listen. I know not everybody will. We're living in a time of confusion and know-it-alls. I don't mean to start off ugly, but that's kind of how it is. The whole world believes lies. Yes. And it's hard to find the truth. You're not going to find it except for right here. And so, let's read this. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The exact same words are repeated in Proverbs 27 and verse 12 also. So, a prudent man. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for the good Sunday school lesson. Thank you for the pretty weather. Thank you for the opportunity to be together now and for the Word of God that is our anchor of our soul. It's the only place we can go in the times we live that are so full of lies and confusion and darkness that we know that we can get the absolute truth. And we can get wisdom for the days ahead and the days we're living in right now and for our family and for our life and to know wisdom and to be able to discern the times. Please bless now and help us, I pray. Speak to hearts. Not only here, but others who will listen to this in Jesus' name. Amen. A prudent man. Prudent means cautious, circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences of measures or actions. In other words, he's not a hothead. He's not impulsive. He's not somebody that just believes everything he hears. He's careful about it. Careful about all things. Careful about what he listens to, looks at, what he hears, what he believes, who he's around, where the sources he draws from. Prudent. And it applies to all areas of life. You know. Who you marry. Yeah. How you raise your children. Prudent means a look to the future. Not just for right here and right now. A prudent man foresees evil. It don't get him by surprise. If he's watching, he'll be prepared. That's what prudence amounts to. The prudent man foreseeth evil. He foreseeth the evil. What is evil? We've been talking about that too. Now, what does that mean? Sin? No, it means trouble. And remember what I told you? All evil is not sin, but all evil is the result of sin. It's the trouble. He sees trouble coming. He's looking ahead and not just living in the present, whether it's good or bad. That's what we do. We just kick back when everything's good, you know, and not prepare, not look ahead, not think ahead. But the prudent man doesn't do that. A prudent man's a wise man. He has enough wisdom to see when there's danger or difficulty ahead. You know, there's a lot of prudent people driving cars who are not prudent. I can tell you that. They're not looking past the end of their hood. And I've watched and watched it. They don't know. They're not looking behind them. They're not looking beside them. They're not looking down the road at what's happening. They're not involved in the whole thing that's happening here. They're just driving. As long as they keep it between the ditches, they figure they're doing a good job. But that's what causes every single accident.
Yes, sir.
Not watching ahead, behind you, not being aware, not foreseeing what's fixing to happen.
Exactly.
A prudent man's not he's not a careless man, and he's not an apathetic man, or a man that's disengaged from what's going on in his own household or the world around him. A prudent man is contrasted in this verse with a simple man here. One who doesn't pay attention, but lives his life being entertained and careless. A simple man in the Bible is not a thing that you want to be.
Nope.
When the Bible uses the word simple in addressing a person or describing a person, it means he's not very smart. That's what it means. He's not very wise. He just lives moment by moment. And whatever comes, comes. And he's not prepared for it. A prudent man is concerned about his household, his children, his wife, and how to provide and protect them. A prudent man is not going to be caught unprepared for the evil that comes.
Right.
Now, a prudent man prepares for the evil that he foresees coming. What does the Bible say, though, that he does? Hideth himself. Hideth himself. You know, like you would do if a tornado is coming. Unless you're like most people around here, stand on the porch and watch it. See? Well, I might do that too until it gets too close, and then I'm hiding. But I'm going to tell everybody else, get to the basement. I'm not going to let everybody just stand out there and watch till you get blown away. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He provides for himself and those in his charge a safe place to ride out the trouble. You know, we just take everything too lightly. We've grown accustomed to that. We've grown accustomed to safety and security and ease and luxury and comfort. And we just take everything for granted. And we dismiss any threats of danger just like we do the weather. You know, we stay up and watch it and we get concerned about it, but we really don't think it's coming here. Ain't gonna get me. You know, I see these videos of these people, not even all the storm chasers, but they do that now. They'll drive right into it or run right along beside it on the highway, and some of them get killed. They do. But people at home do the same thing. They stand on the porch watching it until stuff starts flying or get out and run around. Isaiah 26 and verse 20. He said, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." Now the context of that is God's judgment on a sinful nation or people. And that's what God says to His people. Now if you're here this morning and you're one of God's people, there's not a reason in the world why you should be fearful or anxious about what's going on in the world right now.
Yes.
It's unnerving, if you want to use that word. It's something to be very concerned about.
Yeah.
It's not the prudent man doesn't kick back and just say, "Everything be all right, God will take care of us. Or Jesus is coming, we're going to be out of here." That's not a prudent man.
No.
That's a fool. You hear me? That's a fool.
Yes.
That's a simple man who's going to pass on and be punished. He doesn't leave himself, a prudent man doesn't leave himself and his family unprepared and unprotected and vulnerable to the trouble he can see coming. You know, I mean, we all know when winter's coming. We know when summer's coming. We know when bad weather's coming. We know if there's a danger outside. I mean, we know when the snakes are coming and kind of where they're at. So we be careful about that, don't we?
Yes, sir.
I'm always telling the kids, you know, don't go down there and don't go out there around that old shed, and, you know, every snake we've ever seen that'll hurt you, that's where he's at. That's where they go. Stay away from there. That's not fear. That's prudence.
Yes. That's right.
That's wisdom. That's protection. That's the duty of a parent with a child or anybody with somebody else who's weaker or not. Or simple.
Right.
You try to help them, to keep them from getting hurt and protect them. So a prudent man doesn't leave himself and his family unprepared and unprotected when he can see trouble coming. Any prudent man can see trouble coming right now in our world.
Yeah.
If you don't see it, you're not prudent at all. In fact, you'd have to be blind and you'd have to be disengaged from everything. You'd have to be deceived in your heart about what faith in God really is and everything else. Because to believe that it's just another thing, it's just another thing, and everything's going to be all right. Well, I've been watching it for a long time, and we always, these troubles come, and it seems like we're going right up to the precipice, and then they all just dissipate, and then we go back to normal, and see there. And every time, it's a little more serious. It's a little more dangerous. And now we're here. I mean, we're in a real spot here. And it is a real danger that's coming. It's already here. Today. And so, only those who are simple can't see the dark clouds that are upon us right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, everybody that's ever been in church knows that verse, don't we? Oh, yeah, and we've talked about it and heard it and we've said it and thought about it so many times, but we never really grasp what he was saying. Neither have we grasped the words of Jesus as he warned us about the last days. They're becoming more real every day, aren't they? Jesus told us that after the times of the Gentiles, in Luke chapter 21, there's a whole section there that leads up to the temple being destroyed and all of that. And then he jumps completely to the end. You know, you got to rightly divide the scripture. And when he said, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and then this is what happens, there shall be signs in the sun. Chapter 21, verse 25 through 28. "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And then I want to read again in chapter 21 down in verse 34 through 36. Jesus said this to his disciples, warning about these last days. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." What day? What day? Well, the day of trouble before the day of joy when Jesus comes. Don't let that trouble in the end times come upon you unawares. Well, Baptists for years have believed that we're just going to have meetings and eatings and singings and shouter out until Jesus comes and then we're out of here. It's just going to be easy for us. We're not going through the tribulation. We're not going through the great tribulation. I don't believe that. But I do believe the church is going to go through tribulation before Jesus comes. And we've never known, and we still don't know, right now today, the degree or the length of the time that the church is going to have to suffer and what it's going to be like before Jesus comes. Right. If there's anything that I've learned that I know very little about how this thing's going to play out. Right. I don't even pretend today to tell you that I know what's coming next, because I don't know what's coming next, and neither does anybody else. And if they claim to, you can just mark them down on the false list, because they don't know. God framed His words and had it pinned down in this book that He preserved forever, in such a way that it all remains a mystery. You know, he said, "Seal up the book until the time of the end. And then knowledge shall be increased in the time of the end." And we all thought, spaceships and computers. And no, the Word of God's going to become, it's going to start opening. I already see it. I already know it. But even as we see the Word of God open up our understanding about what's going on, we still don't know what's coming next. I stayed up the other night late while they were shelling that nuclear power plant thinking, what in the world is this? Who would have expected that? Who would have expected anything that's happened in the last few years? We didn't see it coming. And anyway, that day will come upon you unawares. Jesus is saying, take heed to yourselves. Don't get all carried away surfeiting and drunkenness. Say, well, I don't get drunk. Well, no, but we sure enjoy eating and partying, don't we? And taking it easy and enjoying life and doing everything that's fun and pleasurable. Are we lovers of pleasures more than we're lovers of God? Are we? So that was another thing that he said it would be in the end of in the end times here. Now listen to this. He said, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. As a snare. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. A snare. What? How does a snare do it? Does it just go close real slow and easy so that the varmint don't know what's fixing to happen to him? Or what's happening to him? No. A snare happens like that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, you're in the trap and you don't know how to get out. You can't get out. You're doomed and done. When the trigger is touched, the animal's caught and cannot escape, and it happens in a split second, and he's not expecting it. And that's what Jesus is warning us about here. He said, take heed to yourselves, and don't be caught up in surfeiting and drunkenness and all of that stuff, lest that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, that's how it's going to happen, to the whole earth. Let me read it again. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. These words and the way he says them are so different than the prophets in the way they said things. You can identify a lot of things that we have now because of on the whole earth. The whole earth. Now, I'm not a sensationalist. I'm not. Anybody that has known me for any length of time knows that I'm not. I don't make much of current events as far as connecting them to Bible prophecy.
Right.
Because I've learned a long time ago, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Proverbs 13 and verse 16 says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. And a lot of people have done that by interpreting Bible prophecy with current events.
Right.
Proverbs 14 and verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. That's why you got all these guys on the radio and TV and everything. It has been for years. Remember Jack Van Impe? Yeah. What did he build everything on? Prophecy.
Yep.
Then you got this Irvin Baxter guy that's a oneness Pentecost that believes in baptismal regeneration. Teaching Bible prophecy, and it's all based on current events. I haven't listened to him for years, but I did. I used to listen to him some, and until I figured out what he was, and when he plainly said what he did about salvation and stuff, I heard him. And hear somebody else tell me what he said. But every day it's discussing what's going on in Israel or some other part of the world. And it's all exciting because, you know, boy, the Lord's going to come. The Lord's going to come. But he don't believe the Lord's coming. He's also an amillennialist. Post-trib. You know, he don't believe the Lord's coming at all. Really.
Yeah.
And people who believe that way believe they can pinpoint the day when he's coming. And when the Lord said, no man knoweth the day or the hour.
That's right.
And everybody's all excited about them. And that man, they're rolling into money because they speak to people's emotions, just like all the charismatics and all the other contemporary Christian stuff does. It's the same thing, you see. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's fascinating, you know, to think about all that stuff and to get everybody excited because, boy, this is it. This is it. This is it. All my life as a Christian, I've watched people do this until it's become like the little boy that cried wolf. Mm-hmm. Now nobody listens. It has encouraged the scoffers and turned many into scoffers who otherwise might have been more interested in the Lord's return.
Yep.
And I'm convinced that it's a wile of the devil to deceive many people and blind them to the truth to interpret current events as Bible prophecy. Or to interpret Bible prophecy by current events, better said. Yes. Interpreting Bible prophecy by current events has become a money-making gimmick for the false prophets because it fascinates and excites the emotions of people who have little understanding and don't read their Bibles and just go on what they hear from every wind and doctrine that blows by. And most people who call themselves Christians, I just described them exactly. They don't read this book, and they don't study this book, and they don't base what their core beliefs are not based on what the Bible said. It's based on what they heard in church or heard from somebody else. That's a fact. And they go to church and sit there every Sunday and act like they're real Christians, and they don't understand. And those are the people that these false prophets prey on with this, because the world's getting to be a dangerous place. And everybody knows it. And it's not just the Christians who are saying, danger ahead. Now, everybody's saying danger ahead. Everybody knows that that it's a hair trigger right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Never been this way in our lives, really. I've told you that before, but this one is different. Yes. We're in more danger right now than we've been ever. And never been world leaders threatening openly, repeatedly to nuke you. You know, to use him. I'll do it. And the people that know him say he'll do it. This all may just fizzle down and go away in a little bit here. Maybe. Not likely, but it might. We've seen other things through our lifetime that, boy, it looked serious, looked like no telling what's going to happen here. And then it all just, everybody just back down. Wait till another time. But we never know when that time's going to be. Now, it puffs up the pride of those who indulge in it and makes them feel like they have better understanding than most other people, and they know things that others don't know, while all the time they're being deceived by the devil. You oughtn't to listen to these goofballs that get on the internet and everywhere else and do all this prophesying, and what's the other thing? Everything's an allegory, and they compare everything from the Old Testament to things that are happening now, and they come up with all these wild ideas and comparisons, and people believe it. You know, the 911 thing and all that guy. Who is that guy? The beard, and he's a... I can't remember his name, but...
Jonathan Kahn.
Yes. There's one right there. You shouldn't listen to that stuff. I'm telling you. Yeah, he wrote a book, The Harbinger. I guess I said it right. I don't know what. And people just grab them books and eat them up. And I'm telling you what I believe. You don't have to agree with me, but we'll find out in the end of all this. I believe that all that's of the devil. It's the lies of the devil. It's not trying to help you to be ready for the Lord's coming.
No.
It's to deceive you so that you will not be ready and that they'll overtake you.
Yes, sir.
Unawares. It pollutes pure doctrine. But people who get involved in that have a puffed up pride like, you just don't know because you don't read what I read and you just don't understand. Poor you. And, you know, I know this is offensive, and I'm not against women, but who gets caught up in that stuff more, men or women?
Women.
Absolutely. It pollutes pure doctrine, and it sows confusion. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about interpreting Bible prophecy by current events. It pollutes pure doctrine. It sows confusion about the blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Lord's return for His bride. That day that He said He was going, the day He was talking about when He said that He would come back to take us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. It sows confusion about that. You know, I remember years ago when I, for the first half of my life as a Christian, most Baptists all believed in pre-tribulation rapture. Do you know how many do now? Very few. How did they change their mind? By the lies the devil sowed, just like he did about everything else, you know. Made everybody believe that this doctrine just started in 150 years ago when some Pentecostal woman out there talking in tongues and blah, blah. Baloney. I don't believe none of that stuff. I got a Bible to read, and that's not what I get out of the Bible when I read it. Well, the verse in Isaiah that I just read to you when we started here. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors and hide thyself as it were for a little moment until this indignation be past. In Revelation, I believe chapter, I always get it mixed up. But just before the destruction of Babylon, which is another subject, but the Bible says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her judgments. God does that.
Yes, sir.
He's always done that.
Yes, sir.
He protects his people. When the judgment comes. So we shouldn't be fearful today if you're at peace with God. If you've got the real peace of God, if you're really born again and your name's written in heaven, you're safe. God's got this thing.
Yes, sir.
And the world's going to get what's coming to it.
That's right.
We ought to, you know, it's very contrary to what the Bible teaches about His return. Now, Jesus said of that day and that hour, no man. It repeatedly, the New Testament tells us that. Jesus Himself repeated it. That nobody knows the day or the hours. Only the Father. And yet, they come up with these deals where the Bible gives us specific number of days from this time to this time to this time. When He's coming. And so if they determine that this is that day right there, then we know exactly when He's coming. So we ain't going to be able to discern, are we? And furthermore, if they are post-trib or mid-trib, then they can tell us exactly the day that He's coming. And so, hey, eat, drink, be merry. We got 1,300 or 1,200 and some days. What is it? You know. We got another 3.5 years to enjoy life here. He ain't coming. See, the Bible says we're to be prepared. Jesus said, watch ye therefore. And take heed to thyself. And over He said, watch, watch. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. And but this doctrine is teaching everybody, you ain't got nothing to worry about. We ain't seen this and this happen yet, so. And besides, the church is not going out anyway. He ain't coming until after the millennium or something. Or before the millennium. At the end of the tribulation period. You got every kind of combination you want to find. It pollutes pure doctrine. It confuses the Bible command for us to be looking for Him every day. We ought to get up every morning. For the last 2,000 years, the people of God have expected Him every day. And that's the way God wanted it. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Because he's looking for Jesus to come. And when you come up with doctrines that say, well, nah, he can't come yet. I've heard people say that. Well, Jesus can't come yet. I mean, this hadn't happened and this hadn't happened. Where do you get that? And so they got it from watching current events and looking at the words in the Bible. And they said, that's it, that's it, that's it. You know, the 10 European countries, there it is, the 10 horns. You know.
1948.
Yeah. Well, that is an important thing that the Bible told us. There's so much prophecy about God bringing these people back to the land of Israel. That is important, and it is... what's the word I'm looking for? Significant. Yes. But, you know, you can take that and just go on and on and on from there. Let me hurry. I got too many things to say here. We should be expecting His return at any time. No one knows for sure when He'll come. And He's not given us any way to know the day or the hour. Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. 24:36, before that said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Mark 13:33, Jesus said, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Mark 13:37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Any teaching that takes away from that truth that we should be watching always is a false teaching. And it's not from God. And if it's not from God, who's it from? The devil. They were not watching in Noah's day. Not no one but Noah and his family. Matthew 24:37-39. Jesus said this. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, he was moved with fear. Is that the kind of fear that the world's full of right now? No, it was the kind of fear that had prudence involved. God said, I'm going to destroy the world. Noah, build an ark. That's a fearful thing. Noah believed God. And when God said to him, I'm going to destroy the world, you got to think about what that felt like to Noah. The danger of being deceived, listen to me, is greater than the physical danger we're facing. I'm telling you, other people are more, the greatest danger they're facing is that they're going to believe lies and be deceived in these last days. That's a greater danger than a nuke falling on us. It is.
That's right.
Yep. The first thing Jesus said when his disciples asked him about when he was coming back and the end of the world was to warn them about the deception that would be so strong. Mark 13:5. And Jesus answering them began to say, first thing he said, when he began to tell them and explain what was going to happen in the last days, the first thing he said was, take heed, lest any man deceive you. In Matthew 24:24-25, he said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. It's like Jesus said, now I've warned you. Beware, lest any man deceive you. There's going to be a lot of them. And they're going to say that I am Christ and that I am coming and all of this. Don't believe them. That the deception is going to be so strong. The ones with the microphone are going to be so convincing that they know what it's about and what's happening. Jesus warned us. We're living in a time of the strongest deception and delusion the world has ever known. I don't know if you've thought about that, or if you've realized that, or if you've meditated on that a little bit, but I have. We can't believe anything that we see or hear or read. Now, I know what I said, and I mean what I just said. We can't believe anything that we see, hear, or read. We can't believe our government.
No.
We can't believe Russia's government. We can't believe anybody else. We can't believe anybody else's government. We can't believe anybody that worked for the government that knows how things work. You know, this is the former head of the FBI. Let him tell you how it works, you know, what's going on. They always go get these people that used to work in the government. Now you tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
Can't believe them. You can't believe any source of news anywhere. Now, we need to let that soak in, because We do a lot of talking, even us among ourselves. We talk about, why is he doing this? What's going on? And everybody's got their take on it. Well, it's because of this, and it's because of this, and it's because he's mama, or he's daddy, or he's ex-wife, or, you know, he's just crazy. Or he wants that money. Or it's a church thing. It's a spiritual. This, you know, I've seen so much nonsense, and who knows? Nobody knows. It's like we've been talking about in the spiritual warfare. This ain't about Putin, and it ain't about America, and it ain't about the Ukraine. There is spiritual powers at work here.
Yes, sir.
It's sure. The devil's working toward the grand finale, the end, the war that ends everything. And we need to understand that. And we need to quit listening to all of the know-it-alls of this world and people who claim to be Christians or preachers or doctors of the law. Explain to us poor, ignorant people what is going on, because they don't know. There's fake news, there's fake videos, there's deep fake, you know, they can do anything now they want with anybody. They can make a video of them doing things, saying things, and it looks as real as it can be, but it's not real. It's phony, it's fake, it's a made up deal. There's straight up lies throughout all the means of obtaining information that we have. Now, we need to understand that. We can't get on the internet and find the truth, find out what's going on. You can't do it, man. You can't do it. You got to realize what you're fishing in and what you're going to pull out of there. You better not swallow it. Here's the only source of truth we got.
Amen. That's right.
This is where you better be. Reading and trusting, mm-hmm. and preparing. This better be your manual for preparation.
Yes, sir.
So we cannot know for sure what's going on anywhere, anytime. We really don't. The other night that they were shelling that nuclear plant. Well, I seen the video, man. There they are, just. You know, and they're shooting artillery in it. And then the next morning I got up and said, well, one shell had hit this administrative building, and that's what the fire was about. And, what? They'll tell you that it's this way, and then within an hour it's some other way. Nobody knows. We're being absolutely bombarded with information, aren't we? It's a constant flood. There's nothing else on the news feed except that. And it's all about, every one of them is somebody explaining to you what's going on over there. Now, there's a war going on over there. We know that much. I guess we do. Do we? I saw where I listened to a guy yesterday, and he was a Ukrainian, but he spoke Russian and everything. He may have been a Russian. I don't know. But anyway, he's a musician, and he was a kind of a guy, and he was just sitting there telling what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said he went to the Russian media, and he said, I speak Russian, so I know what they were saying. And they were telling the people that he said they never showed the tanks or any of the Russian military. They just showed the explosions happening in the Ukraine, and they told the people in Russia that these explosions were the Ukrainian government terrorizing the people. And that Russia was there to save them from it. And so the Russian people are believing that. And they're adamant. You know, he's our leader. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. And we trust him. Remember what I've been preaching about lies?
Mm-hmm.
How you believe one lie and it leads to another and you're totally deceived? That whole nation is believe lies. But that's not all. This whole nation has believed lies too. And are believing lies. They believe anything anybody says. Trump, Biden, and you know, depends on which lie you believe there.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
See? I'm telling you, the world is a bad place. And we don't belong here, and we don't fit here, and we can't function here in their system. And be in the know about what's going on and who's doing what and why they're doing it. And don't deceive yourself into thinking that you do know.
Yes.
The point I'm trying to get across to you here this morning is that you better be prudent and you better be looking to the right direction and the right preparations to make in these days that we're living in. And I'll just say that in a minute when we get done here and we close it up. But there's no clear reason or motive that we can know and understand about what's going on anywhere in the world at any time. You think about that. People believe and spread lies. They do. Gary, you touched on that in Sunday school a little bit. That's the way they do. People believe and spread lies. Governments believe and spread lies. They don't just spread lies all the time because they got some ulterior motive. They really believe it. They believe they're right. They're justified. They believe they've got a right to do this. Nobody ever went to war without thinking they had a right to do this. Now I'm talking about an aggressor. The news media believes and spreads lies. And the only source of truth we have is this book that God has preserved for us forever, His Word. And it's the only anchor we have in these perilous times or any other time. Like I said a while ago, I don't even imagine that I can know what's going to happen next or what's going to happen before the Lord takes His church out. But I do know that trouble is coming and that we ought to prepare for it. And I don't know how you would get this across to people to where they'd really realize the severity of and the importance and the urgency right now of what we're saying. I don't know. I do know that we ought not to kick back and live carelessly because we believe Jesus is coming to yank us out of here just before it gets too bad. Well, then what's the difference in us and that crazy bunch when the comet came through? And they all got out there somewhere and holed up and believed it was a flying saucer coming to take them away. I tell you, it's an insane world. I'll just drop this in here too. So the other day, this preacher, he acts like a Baptist preacher in a church somewhere. But there are thousands of people who believe that he's Elvis. They believe that Elvis... That he's Elvis. He sings like Elvis. You know, he keeps his collar open like Elvis. He's got a beard now. And he's old. But, because Elvis would be 80-some years old now. But they believe, you know, they quote scriptures about the old man must die. Well, that's what happened, don't you see? Elvis just died, but here he is, reincarnated. They believe this stuff. And I guess he enjoys it because he's a singing like Elvis all the time. And... But if the old man's dead, then why are they in love with him still? See, people are nuts. I mean, full on bananas. You just got to laugh because it's so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. How could anybody believe such things? Crazy. But I don't believe we ought to just kick back and live carelessly and wait on Jesus to come. I think you're very foolish if you do that. You think, it'd be all right. Lord, take care of us. No, this is not the hour for that kind of thinking. This is not the subject for that kind of thinking. Prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He prepares for it. He's ready for it. We don't know how bad it's going to get before he comes for us. We don't. Everybody's scared of nuclear war with good reason. But there's a thousand other things that can happen besides that, before that happens, that absolutely would change our lives completely in the way we live. Y'all understand that? We were talking, coming to church, and I said something about them shelling that nuclear plant. I said, why would they do that? Because they can shut down the power with a keyboard. Why do all that? They're threatening that. Also, I've thought it for years. I mean, I've been preparing for it for years. Too lazily, too procrastinating, too poor. But it's time to prepare. I'm telling you. You better do some thinking. And I'm not a fearmonger. I'm just trying to give you some good advice. And you all better listen. Regardless of this thing that's going on over there now, these things are going to come to pass eventually, and it's not going to be too far off. Well, no matter what happens over there with that thing. If that thing just dies tomorrow and Russia takes what's left of its tanks and goes back home, we still need to be prepared.
Yes, sir.
If they shut our power off. I mean, it's so ridiculous to me. If they turn the power off within 3 or 4 hours, everybody is absolutely nuts. You know, what in the world? When are they going to get the power back on? We ain't got no phone. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no lights. And I'm not talking about buying a generator. You know, when the lights go out, they most likely will go out for good. You need to understand that.
Yes, sir.
At least for a long, long time. They're not coming back in 3 or 4 hours or 3 or 4 days. You need to think about that. That's just one thing. Here's some advice for those who'll hear. We ought to make preparations to live like people did 150 years ago, and you need to do it right now.
Yes, sir. Not immediately.
Not 2 or 3 months from now. Start planning. No, you need to do it now. I am. Do some serious thinking and preparing to live without electricity or any kind of power tools or machinery. Better think about that.
Yeah.
See, that's so far removed. We just can't think that way. I've never lived in my life without electricity. I'm 65 years old almost. Dad did. He remembers when they got electricity in the house. I don't. It's always been here. We've always had it. I mean, I remember having an outhouse and having to get water out of the well, but I don't remember not having electricity. A fan, lights, things like that. It's far removed. We're just used to this thing of, hour, two, 3 hours. The worst we've ever had is electric being out 3 or 4 days because of a nice storm or something, you know. And boy, remember that year? Oh, that ice storm. Our power was off for 4 days. Wow. How could you manage if it was off 4 weeks? 4 months, 4 years, or longer. That's what we're looking at. Now, think about basic needs. Water. How much water do you need? Well, we got 2 cases of bottles. We're good. Well, that's just how most people think. I'm not kidding you now. That's how everybody thinks. Yes, sir. We've got used to not having but just a week's groceries at a time in the house. This generation, that's the way they do.
Yep.
Some of them don't have food in the house at all. I know people who don't have a bite of food in the house. They eat out all the time.
Yeah.
They don't keep anything in the house to eat at all.
That's true.
Yeah. I know other people that just don't buy anything until they run out and then they go buy some food. How much food would it take you to last 2 weeks? How about a year? How about from now on? No store to go to. No way to get to the store. I mean, what are you going to do? You got to eat? You're going to just starve to death? You think all things are going to continue as they were from the beginning of creation? That's what the scoffers say. In the days before Jesus comes, the Bible tells us. Ain't no need to worry. Everything's going to go on. I know people who are scoffers. And I know people who sit in churches and claim to be Christians and they're scoffers. And they don't expect anything bad to happen. It'll just blow over. And we've seen all this over and over and over. And ain't no need to worry. And then the snare is going to pop one of these days. And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's going to be very, very few prepared. And so what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. Yeah. But before they die, they're going to suffer greatly.
Yeah.
And we can't change the things that are happening in the world. We can't do that. And we can't provide for the rest of our lives food for every day, a menu, and enough of this, enough of that. We got to know how to manage. We got to be prepared to manage without everything that we've always had in our lifetime. Water. Think about water. We got a well that's 260 feet deep. How are you going to get that water out of that well? There's ways. Ways to do it without electricity, without, you know, everything, you know, anything. I've thought about solar panels and all that, but you know, they'll just last so long. If you got solar panels to run anything, you got to have a bank of batteries, and the batteries don't last forever. And so what are you going to do in a couple of years when the batteries go? Better figure something else out. How'd the world get by without electricity for all of those thousands of years? Oh, they were just dumb people. They didn't, you know, they didn't have sense to do nothing. You know, they just ate possums and stuff, and wonder how many of us will be eating possums before it's all over. Well, I'm just giving you some simple advice here. You're going to need a lot more water than just drinking water. You got to wash things, you know, yourself, your clothes, your dishes. There's things that have to, you need water for. So you need more than just a little bit. And you need food and ways to obtain it and prepare it and preserve it. You can't just be thinking about a month or two of surviving. You know, I'm trying to get that across to you. Heat for your dwelling. What, are you going to freeze to death next winter when, if the power's off? No electric, no gas. Well, how are you going to heat your house? It's going to be cold in the teepee with nothing in there. Can't build a fire in your house unless you got a stove. Now, this is some simple things. Protection and being able to defend yourself and your family from those who don't prepare, because there's most people are not going to be prepared, and when they get hungry, they get kind of mean. Prepare to live that way from now on, not just a few days, weeks, or even months, but most of all. Now, I'm not a survivalist. I don't, you know, that's not what I'm talking about, but it is kind of this morning. I think we ought to be thinking about these things. Because we don't know when the Lord is going to yank us out of here. I believe it's close at hand. I really do. But I don't know the day or the hour. Neither do I know how far into this mess we're still going to be here. But it seems to me like we're going to be here. Into it. And so we need to be preparing. Need to be thinking. Better sacrifice something else to take care of these basic needs. To be prepared. But the most important thing of all, I mean, and more important than all of that, is that we purify our hearts and minds and prepare to meet God soon. We're all polluted with this world. We are. We're living in a cesspool of the universe. We really are. It's a bad place. And it's full of sin and evil, and we're seeing it and hearing it just like Lot did in Sodom. Mm-hmm. And it vexes our righteous souls. And we are polluted with it. And we need to be praying like David did, create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes, sir. We don't want to be ashamed before Him at His coming. We want to have our hearts and minds pure. Right? That's more important than anything else. Survivalists don't think about that. I mean, the world's survivalists. They're just going to make it through this thing. Heard a man just the other day talking, and he said, oh, that'd be a lot of people survive World War III. You know, he thinks, you know, and he's just adamant about it, that it'll just be, you know, life's just going to go on. So what, World War III? The earth abided forever. No. No, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words will not pass away. Ever. And so here's where we need to be. And we need to be very wary of what we're listening to and seeing and hearing right now. You better put a question mark by everything you hear. Everything. From our side, their side, everybody else. You just better prepare. Because the world is going to change. And if it's not this thing that's going, it'll be one of the next things that comes along that's even more serious. More serious. Be not afraid. Fear not. I'm not afraid. I'm excited. Because these are the days that Jesus told us about all these things. And He told us what to do. Take heed unto yourselves. Watch and pray. Purify your hearts. And be ready for Him at His coming. He's coming for a pure church without spot or blemish or... Yeah. I left one out. But anyway, He's coming for a pure church. Wrinkle! I ought to remember that one. Romans 13, 11 and 12. Then I'll quit. And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's a verse for us today. Amen. Just good advice. It's truth. And I believe it's right. And I hope you'll take heed to yourselves. And that we all will. It's a wake-up call. Jesus said, "Now, behold, I've told you before. I warned you. I warned you. Now pay attention." We're not children of the darkness. We're not in darkness that day should overtake us as a thief. We're children of light. We can see it coming. Jesus talked about, take a look at a fig tree. And all the trees, He said. When you see the buds start opening, when we got out of the car this morning, Dad noticed the tree back here in the buds. So when you see that happening, you know that summer is nigh at hand. And He said, likewise, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Well, these things have begun to happen a long time ago. We need to be looking up. We need to be expecting Him. But we need to be preparing. We're fools if we don't prepare for the days ahead here. It'll make it easier for us. It's going to be rough if we're unprepared at all.
That's right, yes, sir.
I think it's a man's responsibility to do that for his family. I believe you ought to be looking to those things and not just waiting on somebody else to take care of you if it happens. Yeah. Need to be thinking. Amen. Bow with me. Father, thank You for the truth of the Word of God that's here in this world of lies around us. Thank You for the blessed hope. And Lord, I pray that our folks here would hang on to that and look to that and not be full of fear at these things that are coming to pass on the earth. The lost world around us, they're scared to death. They have no hope but what's in this world, and that is no hope. No God, hope and no God in this world. Lord, I pray You'd help us to purify our hearts and minds and to walk closely with You now, today, and from here forward as we look for Your coming. Lord, deal with our loved ones who are still out there lost. Lord, we sure don't want them to be left. Please deal with them and save them. Go with us now, and I pray we keep this advice, this warning, these things we've read out of Your Word in our hearts and minds, and that we do according to what we've heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.